First off, ma'am, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great, Tom. How are you?
Good. You know, I was interested, you know, last week, your first State of the State address, what was your takeaway?
You know, and I put out a press release, I'm not even sure who picked that up, but, you know, it was refreshing to hear the call for unity, the positive attitude. That's what we need more of. I'm just going to tell you, I'm really, and I think I speak for people in my district in America, we're tired of division. I'm tired of the political grandstanding. Tom, our problems are serious, and there are many, and we really just should not stand for nonsense. And I don't have time for that. So I was glad for one to hear the call for unity.
You know,
that was refreshing.
And it's interesting when I listen to your voice here and your tone of your voice on this that now you're engaged. You had to, you know, I mean, you had to play catch up. But that frustration that you feel, I very often hear about it, whether I'm at the grocery store or at the gas station. I've got somebody who wants to talk about when are people going to be sick and tired of this?
Yeah. And I hear it, you know, as I've told you before, my ears low to the ground. I mean, being a practitioner in the clinic, I see people from all walks of life. And the one thing I can tell you that's pretty common across the board is this, what we're talking about, is just level of frustration, feeling disengaged.
Yeah.
You know, just feeling like they've been ignored and misunderstood.
Well, here's the thing. You and I both know this. We get a double whammy. That national environment comes in via the media. And then when you live in Illinois, you've got to look at Springfield and what they're going to do next that's going to make life harder. I think you get a double whammy when you live in Illinois.
Tom, I think that is a great perception. I mean, that's exactly right. I really hadn't even thought of it that way. It is. Our national platform, especially as for Democrats, for sure, is so liberal, and we here in Southern Illinois just don't. All of us, you know, I know there are some, don't really identify with that part of our party, and so it's tough. And then you get Chicago, and that's exactly it, double whammy.
And then then the phrase is, we have serious problems, and that lack
exactly
of willingness
right.
to engage we engage the problems, we talk about them, but doing anything about them, well, that's another story, isn't it?
It is, you know, and I'm not trying to come in here and say I've got all the answers and this is going to be easy, because I certainly know that it is not. You've got many people in these rooms trying to make decisions, and not everybody's going to agree. That takes time. But we have to get back to negotiating and compromise. Finding that middle ground that made America, you know, what it was in the beginning, that's how things got done. Not this polar on each side, Republicans and Democrats, too polar. Let's come to the middle and find the areas we can agree on and make some decisions.
It's interesting. When I was reading a story and you'd done an interview and you said, look, I want to start ways of saving money now. I want to start finding ways to save money now. Do you have anything on that agenda?
Right. So that's always tough. And what I'm doing right now, Tom, is really just trying to understand our budget as a state. So coming into this, what you see on news and all that, you think you have an idea, but really, I need, as a legislator, to understand as in much detail that I can. That's the kind of person I am. That's the kind of leader I want to be. So I've been meeting with the Department of Revenue, trying to understand, first of all, our tax structure. I had a meeting with them last week. I'm going to have another one coming up, trying to understand from every level, from corporate to individual taxes, so I can really understand that portion. And as I build on that knowledge, those are the ways you can find out how to cut. It's like in your own family budget. You got to know, where are we spending and where is this all going before you can know where to cut. So, you know, I've got to be informed. So I'm on fact-finding mission right now to find out those areas.
All right. So I've kind of done what you're in the process of doing, except Senator Gary Forby comes to the office and actually sent me an email and stops by and says, there's the budget. And I'm like, oh my.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It, because you're going to have an attention span. I'll tell you what, for that pile, forensic auditing would be another way to look at it. Because it's interesting, because we fall back to money again, because when you listen to the State of the State address last week, what seemed to be the largest round of applause and yelling and seeming support, I mean, I wasn't watching, I was listening on our radio station, was that governor saying, I'm going to present a balanced budget to you.
That's absolutely. So I think, you know, you felt, obviously on the Democrat side, tongue-in-cheek apply. You know, they're obviously being
facetious was the term I was going to use.
They're feeling frustrated that they didn't have a balanced budget offered to them, or they the way they perceived it. So, you know, obviously, and Republicans agreed, you know, that they would like, you know, it's good. If we can have a balanced budget, we're all for that. That's what we want.
Another issue, and I was hoping to get an explanation with you this morning. You've been also voicing in media how important this hospital assessment program is. Help me out. What is the hospital assessment program, and why is it important?
Yeah, so hospital assessment program is basically a tax on hospitals, and this is a tax that the hospitals are actually amazingly agreeable and glad to give money to, because that money goes into a pool. Then it's matched by federal dollars, and then that money is redispersed back to our hospitals, and especially those that rely on high Medicaid volume. Now, Medicaid reimbursement is very low when you compare it to other insurance reimbursements. So when you can get a help to your budget from this pool of money, it's what keeps these hospitals available for our areas to be able to serve the people. So this is crucial, especially to many hospitals right here in my district.
Well, this is one of the problems. I mean, when you look at your district, how many healthcare facilities do you have? I know that because with offices and things like that, that's a difficult question.
I don't know the total number there, Tom, but I've got at least five hospitals that could be negatively impacted by this alone. Those numbers have changed. They're getting better as this negotiations have gone on for this hospital assessment. But we're under the gun here. This sunset. The end of June, for what the current assessment is. And if that doesn't go into place, or we don't vote something in that allows some kind of bridge or stopgap funding, then these hospitals are going to lose big bucks.
Are we talking about Farrell? Are we talking about Harrisburg Hospital?
Harrisburg's not going to be as impacted because its affiliation with SIH, it can absorb more, but it certainly it falls under this assessment. Farrell stood to be affected. Hardin County was the most vulnerable in my district. Anna was could be impacted. So, you know, Hardin County, like I said, it's a smaller hospital, higher Medicaid, very, very vulnerable. And as we talked about before, Tom, you know, you're down there in the depths of Hardin County. You're a good hour drive from the closest hospital if that hospital were closed. And we're talking narrow, windy roads. You got a sick child and injured. I mean, that's just a very frightening situation.
Well, it's interesting because in conversations with Polk County Sheriff Jerry Suits, we've had this conversation many times about how far away, especially when somebody gets hurt in his, you know, because it's helicopter time.
That's right.
You know,
we're very fortunate and heartened to have that.
Yeah. Yep. When it gets to this, and that it is, and I think, you know, we just have to recognize, and I think people in the northern portion of the state do not, that we live on very thin margins, because that's what I'm hearing when you talk about Hardin County. We're just dog paddling from one day to the next financially.
When
they say, okay, well, you know, it's only 2%. No, you don't understand. 2% is how we get by. It's how we survive.
That's right. That's exactly right, Tom. And kudos to Roby Williams down there, CEO. I mean, it's not because of mismanagement. He is phenomenal. He has devoted his life down there to that hospital and has made it what it is. He's really the reason it's been allowed, you know, to stay open like it has, and he's worked hard on this hospital assessment negotiation.
Do you know the head administrator for the Harrisburg Hospital is now at the head administrator at Heron Hospital? Went from Harrisburg to Heron?
Yes, I did. Rodney Smith. I've known him for some time.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to meeting him. He's. I just know over the last maybe like the last 2 weeks this has happened. So.
Yeah, nice guy and a lot of good experience, so he'll do well there.
All right, so what's this session hold for you?
So I've got a lot of things on the roster to bills to submit, everything from, you know, a lot of gun stuff. I'm pro-gun. But really, I'm proudest of some of the things I'm wanting to do for ag to help farmers out. You know, there's some bills there that I think are going to be really – I've been speaking with my farmers, and they're really excited about a couple of bills I'm going to present. And then get back to my focus, which is, you know, the drug epidemic we've got. I'm wanting to appropriate some money as we look at the budget for some drug rehab facilities that are going to be more meaningful long term, like recovery homes we used to have that were very effective, and things like that. So I've got a lot of things in the kitty here that I'm hoping, you know, we'll see how they come out of committee and rules. So
could you give me one of your pieces of gun legislation?
Sure. I think one of the probably the big ones is getting rid of the 72-hour waiting period. If you have a concealed carry, it just doesn't make sense that you got to wait 72 hours to get a pistol, for instance. I mean, you've been, you know, highly vetted. You should be able to get that gun.
All right. That's interesting.
Yeah, getting rid of red tape there.
No, you're going to have to go out and start this. You know what that piece of legislation is going to probably teach you is how many people you have to talk to get support.
Yeah.
What's one of those. You're going to have to, one at a time, going, what about you, and this is why. So,
right.
But then again, that's the way it is with many things.